May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enlighten, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce, O pronounce, I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood. And may I for ever recline on the bosom of Jesus my Lord. Hymn 380.
Let us read together for our instruction from the Book of Psalms. First, a portion from Psalm 119. 119, commencing at verse 105. The 119th Psalm, commencing at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I heard not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation, and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts, concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I have cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them for ever. We will now turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thine hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. The Lord bless his own word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, as we now approach unto thee in the attitude of prayer, so give us hearts to pray. O Lord, we have to often confess that we know not how to pray as we ought. Coldness and the sense of death seems to overshadow us. We cannot seem to come with any felt access at thy throne of grace. And yet, O Lord, we know that the only access is in and through the one who prays for us, our great intercessor, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who when he was here upon earth prayed unto his Father. And he prayed for one who was to deny his Lord, that his faith fail not. And so, O Lord, if any are here tried about their coming to thee, and feel that they have no access, may they be given a little glimpse by faith of the one who pleads for them. And so, Lord, we come and we will pour out our hearts before thee. Lord, it may be silent so that men hear it not, but thou dost observe. Thou seest us exactly as we are. Thou knowest, Lord, if we are wrestling with the sin that we feel deep within, wrestling with the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, wrestling with those many cares which so often press upon us. And we cannot seem to lift our souls above them, but have to say, my soul lies cleaving to the dust. But oh, we do pray that if it could please thee, thou would lift us up. Lift us up from the dunghill. Give us, Lord, the sense that we have a name to live, even the name of Christ, who came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. O Lord, then if there is the chief of sinners felt and known here, then may there be those answers to their cries, their groans. Lord, we do pray that there would indeed come to such poor sinners, and do reveal that way of salvation, that they may come to plead that precious sin atoning blood, knowing that it is only the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness that can wash them clean and make them whiter than snow. It is only the righteousness of Christ that can clothe them with such a righteousness that they may be accepted of the Father. To know that they have none of their own, and therefore have to plead, O Lord, thy blood and righteousness alone can be that glorious dress, to not only cleanse us of our sin, but to cover our poor nakedness, our naked soul. Our first parents, despite the fig leaves that they had sewn together, in thy all-penetrating eye, were naked. But Lord, thou didst provide for them skin, to cover them from, as it were, head to foot. Therefore, Lord, it is that robe that fair mitre, those shoes that may Hadassah to be worn, and we prove the lasting nature of that a gracious provision, that we may also be clothed with the heavenly armour, able to go forth to fight against the principalities, the powers, the spiritual wickedness in the high places, that which we find in our own heart, that which may be seen even amongst the churches, or to stand aright for those things which are right, and to seek a right spirit in so doing, that we might have the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, and to be shod with the preparation of the gospel, and to be bound about with the truth, that we may not, Lord, be like those that have but a name to live and are dead. Lord, we do pray that if it could please thee, we are of those wayfarers who may seem to wander at times here and there in the varying places that thou dost bring us to in inexperience. But though wayfarers, yet not fools. Though fools, yet not to err therein. O Lord, we pray then that we may prove that thou dost keep our feet. Deliver us out of temptation. Make that way to escape. Suffer not the enemies to do more than they are permitted to do. But if it be, Lord, for our lasting benefit, that we may then be stripped of all our fancied meekness, and also to be brought to know our weakness in ourselves, that we may be made strong by the mighty arm of the God of Jacob. So, Lord, we pray that there will be to us all that we need. And may we not be left to boast of anything in ourselves, but to boast alone in our Lord and Saviour, our glorious Captain, and thus to follow him in all the battles that we may have to encounter, and to follow him in the way that he himself has trod, and that we may be true disciples, followers of Christ. We pray that thou wilt be gracious to us as we are now gathered, and that thou grant help in hearing, for the hearing ear, that we may hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and unto them here particularly, as they may be gathered as a people, a congregation. Lord, we pray that they may be given the ear to not only hear, but being hearers of the word, also doers of it. Lord, if we have, if it does no more, then as one beholding his face in the glass and then going on his way, not knowing what manner of person he is. Oh, that the gospel mirror may not be that to those here, but rather that they may have the fervent desire to be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of their mind, by the Spirit of God. We do, Lord, also pray that there would gave the door of utterance. May we know the power, that it may not be in word only, but in power and in demonstration of the Spirit. May there be the gracious application, the word to touch the hearts, and so that there may be good done. The work, Lord, is thine. We are but the instrument. And an instrument has no power of itself, only as the one that uses it. So may it be that thou dost use thy servants to that end. But we know that even as a servant, we may go forth with our seed, where shedding many tears, and we may look and look again and wonder whether there will be any evidence of our labours, or is it all spent for naught and in vain? O Lord, may there be the manifestation of thy work through the word, that thy servants may come again rejoicing because they have reaped their sheaves. We do, Lord, also pray that thou wilt look upon any absent ones and do be mindful of them, particularly if they are not able to come through circumstances, or those that are in age and infirmity, or in the end sickness. Lord, thou knowest all the cases. We do commend them to thee. Grant thy healing. Grant that strength of mind, if not of body, to think, to consider the things that they may have heard in previous days, or perhaps they have the word before them. We trust it may be so, and they are with us considering the precious truth. We do, Lord, pray that they would look upon one and another in their varied difficulties and trials, and so do go before, make crooked paths straight, rough places plain, the mountains to flow down at thy presence. Look upon the young, the children, the parents also. Give them wisdom in bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And those that are detained because of their parental responsibilities, Lord, there are sometimes lessons to be learned by the parent from their young, and in their simplicity, that they may see, the parents may see, that there are lessons there. We do also desire, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy keeping power upon them, the young, as they grow up into years, and then have to do with the world of education, even our young years, and what they're exposed to now in this our solemn day, where there is much evil and teaching of much evil. Oh, that thou mayest keep them, that they may be given that ear to attend to what is taught them by their parents, and what they may hear in the house of God, and to bring all that they may hear at school or in the universities or colleges of life, that they may bring it to the sure touchstone of truth. And so, Lord, may they cast out that which is contrary to the truth and hold fast the truth in their own hearts. We would also pray that there would be, with those that have much to do with the world in business life, do keep them from the spirit of the world, and may they work and live honestly before men, and so that they may observe and see those good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And now, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with all thy people, wherever they are, whether in affliction, in bereavement, in walking paths of sorrow, whether persecuted for thy name's sake, whether in isolated parts of the earth, where they may be found. Lord, may there be the gathering in also of the dead elect, that we may see yet those made manifest, and that the stones, as they may seem to be, here and there are raised up to be a living witness to the goodness and mercy of God. Now do pardon us, we pray, of our every sin and all that we've uttered amiss, and make up in giving where we have failed in asking. And Lord, we find so often we do fail. We sit down and then remember. But we would remember, Lord, before closing, one thing more. The couple that are to be joined together in holy matrimony during the course of this week, may it be thy good pleasure, Lord, to be as a guest, to be made evident in their being brought into this relationship. And also, Lord, may they prove the days ahead to be days in which they can feel the sweetness of not only one another's company, but also to believe that thou dost go with them. And we know that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If Christ be in the marriage, what more then can be asked for? They may have their ups and downs, but Lord, may they ever be able to sink all their differences in the fact that they bring all to thy footstool. They may also pray in such a manner for those that have gone and taken that step, and in the course of this year and those before, yea, some of us, Lord, that have been favoured with many years of married life, yet we still need thee to graciously help us day by day together. Now pardon us then of every sin, as we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 806, the second part. Come, ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come, cast away despair, return to Jesus Christ and see, there's mercy still. for such as we. Hymn 806, the second part.
To help me, I would direct your attention to Psalm 32 and read in verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It is the divine instructor that is speaking. Will you hear it? It is to have an ear to hear the instruction and the teaching that we may receive of God, and not to turn our backs upon it, as we know many do. Oh, to be brought into the fear, that gracious fear of God, the tender fear of God, which gives a listening ear to hear what God will speak. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And the Lord has his means of instructing his dear people. And there is that which he has given to us. And we may say that this, everyone that is gathered here, has the Holy Scripture. It is the Word of God. And the Lord has given it so that we may be instructed by it, and that we may read it, and that we may consider it, that we may meditate upon it. And as we speak these words, may you examine your own hearts as to whether you can say with an affirmative, yes, that I do, not out of the pride of your heart, not because you are a Pharisee, but because you are a humble seeker after God, desiring to know the truth that it may set you free. What a blessing if the Lord speaks therefore this into your soul, I will instruct thee, so that every time you pick up the word of God, you may have this faithful promise. That does not mean to say that every time you read it down that you can understand or fathom it or remember it. Sometimes you may read down the page and get to the end and wonder what you've read. But nonetheless, as you have read it, what may abide? Who knows? If the Lord means it by way of instruction, then you may well find it comes to your mind, perhaps at some unexpected moment, the very passage that you seemed not able to take in. But how often do we have our meals? And do you remember what you've eaten? Do you remember what you've had? Well, some may be given to having a good memory, but doubtless such, particularly if your mind is on other things, you do not know what you have eaten, and yet it has nourished your body. You may be ready sometimes to cast the word aside and say, it's no good. It's no good. I cannot concentrate or take anything in of it. Therefore, what is the point? But, dear friends, this is your word of instruction. It is here that you will get guidance. It is here that you may learn what is the right thing to do. May you therefore prove that the Word of God is not only to you as a teacher, but may become your meat, your food, your drink. But the Lord will instruct thee. Yes, he has purposed the word, the scripture itself, to be as a means by which we are instructed. And may we each be given due diligence to read the word, to read it from a beginning to end, to read it comparing scripture with scripture, to read it desiring that we may come to an understanding of it, and that understanding may take years. You may say, well, we can only understand it if the Holy Spirit teaches us. That is quite true. But our learning is, as the scripture says, line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So it is. You know, dear friends, I sometimes compared the reading of the scripture like trying to fix or put together a jigsaw. There are many parts, many pieces, all about the board. It's not until they're brought together that you begin to see the picture. And it's only in the continual reading through the scripture that, under the gracious blessing of God, you may find there are those things that are brought together. And so you have the teaching. The teaching as it may respect doctrine, the teaching as it may respect experience, the teaching as it may respect precept, that is, to walk out in those things, to walk out those things wherein we are instructed in our lives. But I will instruct thee and teach thee. The God, Lord has also given us another help. We may say more than a help. In a sense, you'll understand what I mean when I speak of this particular means. The Holy Spirit. He was given to be a teacher. And particularly where unto the believers, that a word or two were to spring forth after our Lord had ascended up into glory. For then he would give his Spirit, that he may be a teacher and a comforter to every believer. Under the Old Testament dispensation, there was given prophets who were the Lord's mouthpieces particularly, and who would come to speak either words of rebuke and reproof, or words of encouragement, words of promise, declaring the purposes of God, his faithfulness. And so, under the tutors and governors, so the saints of the Old Testament were often instructed by that means. Yes, the Spirit indeed would teach, but through the prophet. But now he has given the blessed Spirit as a witness with our spirit, a witness to testify of those things that may concern our never-dying souls, a witness that may also testify as to whether we walk according to the mind of God, or whether we walk contrary to it. The Spirit sometimes may teach us by his gracious and blessed witness and presence, and sometimes he may teach us by his solemn absence, when we have to walk those days of darkness. But it is nonetheless the Spirit teaching us. It is a spirit that can take of the things of Christ to reveal them feelingly to our hearts. It is the Spirit that can cause the Word itself to enter into our souls with power. It is the Spirit that may use the ministry. And what is the ministry to you? Do you find that many of the Lord's servants come and they go, and that is all it is? You sit in your seat, you may hear with the outward ear, but there's no real hearing. And who can say that they have not been like that? There's a difference being brought. Has the Spirit brought application through the word of the ministry to your soul? Has there been a quickening? Has there been the hearing ear? Well, it is a mercy if the Lord then has brought that life into our soul by his gracious Spirit through the Word. Whether it is the Scripture itself in your reading, when you're in your closet, in your room at home, or the Word that he may bring to you when you are busy about the things that are needful with regard to the things of life. Yet the busy scenes that you may find surrounding you, the holy instruction of God is not withheld, but given there. And we may perhaps mention that often in those busy scenes, when you have much need of a direction, you find there is the Spirit working in your heart, causing you to pour it out before God in prayer. Seeking that the Lord will guide and help you in all those matters that may concern you. And we will not confine it to just providential matters. Perhaps when things are going adverse in the course of life, it brings about such an exercise of your mind with regard to your soul. And oh, you need the Lord to instruct you in that salvation. Before I come more specifically to that, there is a third thing that the Lord uses to teach and instruct. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And that is, when he may bring the trials and troubles into your life, that by these things you may live. Hezekiah had trouble come into his life. Indeed, the Lord sent his prophet to say, "Thou shalt die and not live." And doubtless you remember the account of how Hezekiah had to turn himself to the wall and beseech his God. And it then turned him from a state which would seem to have been won. He'd seen the Lord's gracious deliverance. How quickly we can fall into a complacent state of mind. How quickly we may perhaps find pride, spiritual pride, rise up. And then the Lord comes with his word and he brings trouble. He brings affliction. He brings the sentence of death to hang over your head. Not literal in the sense that you are in a court of law naturally, but You're brought perhaps before the judge of all the earth in your soul concerning his holy law. And you've broken it. And you've broken it. Yet in these things, the Lord will teach. He'll sometimes teach us those things that we could never know or learn otherwise. Because it is a true thing that we cannot learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task. Can you learn concerning the love of God without coming into the experiences that will teach you wherein the love of God is made known? Those things, they cannot just be arbitrarily mentioned. You have to taste and feel. And you will find that with so much a teaching of the Holy Spirit, it is in using those particular situations wherein your soul is brought into great exercise. Now, I would wish just to look then at this word in the light of the psalm that we've read. And you may perhaps at your leisure consider some of those words in the 119th psalm which we also read. But here we find David, first of all, entering into this experience. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Do you know what it is for the Lord's hand to be heavy upon you? When he makes known your sin, when it seems as though he is against you. Job felt the Lord's hand to be heavy upon him in his affliction. He felt that God had become his enemy. But God was Job's friend. And you know, we sometimes say that in natural things, you've got to be the expression's just gone from me, but to the effect that you have to be hard or unkind to be kind. And we're such adamants, you know. We're such hard-hearted wretches. Sometimes we need the harsh dealings of God, and yet what may seem harsh to us, we may view afterwards as being all part of his goodness. That there was mercy in that hand which was heavy upon us. But he will teach us our sin. He will teach us what we are by nature. He will bring us to realize what hearts we have and also what we are by nature, proud, covetous, and ready to please ourselves, to manifest much selfishness, self-righteousness, conceit, deception, Or we may go on with a long, long list. Thy hand was heavy upon me. And shocked at the sight, I straight cry out, can ever God dwell here? But you see, the psalmist, he was to come then to something else. Perhaps before mentioning that, I must just speak of David in his particular sin, which is well known to us, his sin of adultery. He committed that sin, and he lived in the hardness of his own heart for the period and time until the child was born. The Lord sent his prophet, who spake a parable. David rose up immediately in indignation and judgment concerning the character that was there set before him in the parable. He would indeed have dealt with him in a right, just manner, according to his iniquity. Thou art the man. Where did it bring David? And it brought him then to prostrate himself upon the earth, to plead for the child whilst there was life. And when he knew that the child was dead, then he rose up and would give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Grace certainly had worked in David's heart. We have his repentance. We have the penitential prayer. We have it, as it were, mentioned here also. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. This is true confession. A man may confess some of his sins, but will he confess all? Perhaps not before men. That may be a very painful thing. It may not perhaps be a prudent thing, but to confess them before God. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You've sinned against God. Oh, the heinousness of it. The awfulness, enough to sink you into a thousand hells, which depth cannot be fathomed. And here you find yourself confessing those sins. But there is something else that the Lord is teaching you. He's teaching you what infinite mercy is. Oh, the depth, the height, the breadth of mercy. Can all my preaching tell you about mercy? One sweet sacred moment when the Lord conveys his mercy to you. So undeserving of the least of his favours, yet he hasn't withheld his favour. He bestows it. What may be the favour? Well, we may speak of the many favours that there are in mercy. I will try to just speak of one or two. First of all, forgiveness. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I will instruct thee and teach thee. Can you learn of that mercy by any other means? Though the scripture is full of the teaching of the mercy of God, and when you come into these particular exercises and soul experiences, you turn to the word of God, and there you may find that the word speaks. Then you may find that here is the comfort that you need. Ah, when you go contrary to God, or you're convinced of your sin, you may turn from the Genesis to Revelation to find one word of comfort, and you can't. Everything speaks against you, condemning you. But when the Lord will teach you mercy, then you may find the whole of the scripture conveys mercy. Mercy to such a worm as you. If we should just consider the mercy that Jacob knew. When you compare Jacob and Esau, did Jacob deserve any mercy? Esau came in from the field, famished, seeing the pottage that Jacob had made. Oh, desired it. But at what price? You see, we need to consider the price of some of these things. Something to satisfy the flesh in preference to the saving of the soul. He sold his birthright. But when we consider, though, Esau's need and want, you may say, well, was it so heinous? When we consider what Jacob did, he then stole the blessing from his brother, supplanted his brother of his birthright, stole the blessing from him, deceived his father. Was not that worthy of eternal punishment? To sin in one point, we are guilty of all. But Jacob was to receive mercy. There at Bethel, he was to see the mercy of God in setting before him a ladder that stretched from heaven to earth. He was there at the bottom of it. But blessed be his name, God was sat at the top of it. To judge with a most awful holy judgment, he sent his angels to ascend and descend upon that ladder. What was that ladder? What did it represent? The mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, upon whom those angels ascended and descended to bring down to his people every blessing that they may require. What mercy. Well, if the Lord should lead you into the sacred and blessed mediation of Christ, how he came down, oh, his condescension. You see, it's when you are in need of this mercy that you will understand a little of the condescension of Christ. First in his love, his great love that he has towards his own, though they may be the vilest of sinners. An idolatrous, wicked Manasseh, yet should obtain mercy. A denying Peter, yet he should obtain mercy. An unbelieving Thomas, yet he should obtain mercy. An adulterous David, as we mentioned, yet he should obtain mercy. and I persecute him, Paul, yet he would obtain mercy. And who enabled the apostle Paul to write as he did? Because the Lord had instructed and taught him, and the way of acceptance is at the mercy seat. It's there to plead. Oh, we have to come then there in our, so to speak, sackcloth and ashes. We got nothing to boast of. We have to plead the merits of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. What poverty? Well, found in fashion as a man, in the form of a servant, he humbled himself even to the sufferings of death. Who can teach you about the sufferings of Christ? Well, he may bring you into experiences wherein you may suffer. Whether you find providence and grace unite, providential trials and extremities and extremes, whatever they may be, whether it's in sickness or affliction, whether it is when you are there confronted with a situation which would send you 1,000 fathoms down into the steps of despair, yet there you may look to the recovering grace of your Lord and Saviour, who also suffered, but his sufferings so intense, angels have no perfect sense. But a worm like you receives this teaching and instruction. And did my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? What a cordial of comfort and relief that may be. Now I can bear all things when I have this teaching, this knowledge. Then you are able to bear it because you prove yet something else. Perhaps a truth that you'd overlooked, though you may have read it many times, heard it mentioned from the pulpit, but now the Lord is teaching you underneath of the everlasting arms. The Lord, therefore, is teaching you in these extremes of his love. He will chasten you as a son. What a solemn matter if you're left to be as one that is not looked upon. A bastard, as the scripture speaks of them, one illegitimate, not one of the family, only to be cast out. Brought perhaps though to feel that. And then the Lord brings you into another experience. Moses may have knocked you flat with every consideration to condemn you. And then we find that you being left, as Ezekiel expresses it, there in the open field, there as one in your blood, there is one who was not swaddled at all, was not cared about, was not washed, and so on. And then He comes to this. And when I passed by thee and saw thee, polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. What has caused such a one to say, live? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, you learn those sacred truths and doctrines in this manner. Then you know what true election is. The Lord has chosen me before time began. Yea, I have loved thee. And wherein is that choice, or how is that choice made? Chosen in Christ. Another thing that he therefore teaches in that chosen in his dear beloved Son, and in him he saw no transgression, no sin, that he should look therefore upon all those that are chosen in his dear Son, and therefore are his, he may look upon them and see no sin. Justification. What does the psalmist say? Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When you know your sins deserve in hell, yet need you despair, poor tried soul? Who can tell but that the Lord will be gracious? Yes, he will be gracious. Having laid down his life, shed his precious blood for all those that are his, all those that he foreknew, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And that sets before us, you know, the trier of gold, who wants to see the image, his image, there made evident in the liquid mass which the furnace only brings out and brings forth. The dross then being burnt off, he sees the reflection, the image of himself. And then the trier knows that the gold is ready to be made into the crown, the ring, or whatever he may so design. Now we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. That is why we have to go through the furnaces and through the trials. Here we have the teaching. Here we have the instruction. Here you learn the doctrine of such things. Here you find that you can bring your experience to the Word and find that it is true. Some try to bring the Word to their experience, and you know that is a sure way of falling into error. Bring your experience to the Word and see it there, and you will then find that you are brought into the instruction and enabled to walk in the way that the Lord would have you to go. Well, my time is running out. The subject is vast. You find that the Lord teaches, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. It's a sanctified way. It's a separating way. It's the way that you have to approve that the vulture's eye hath not seen, neither has the lion's whelp trodden in it. You find that it is a way that the blind are brought into, that they may be led. And he leads his dear people forth by a right way. And they find they have no dwelling place that they can settle in here. You may have your houses. You may have your comforts. Yes. And proper in its right place. Or proper when it's in the right place in your heart. Make it an idol. The Lord will not have it. And if he should destroy it, then you will be brought to bless his name if that has been put in place of your God. But you know, the Lord is very merciful and gracious. He bestows these things. He would have us to have all things to be enjoyed rightly, held with a loose hand as far as this life is concerned, but the things of eternity, oh, that they may be grasped, and that to be your joy and desire and longing, that you may desire to know him and the power of his resurrection, to have fellowship with him in his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death. And if you should ask me, how can that be? Well, I will teach, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go and set before thee the sanctified path. And it's a path that is lined out with his precious blood. And that, my dear friends, only faith can view. But I must come just very briefly now to this last clause. I will guide thee with mine eye. This is our great blessing that the Lord will guide us in the midst of this world where there are so many temptations, so many things to distract and turn us aside. But he guides us with his eye. Now, I set before you an illustration here. I don't think it is so today. But those of you that have visited Hampton Court, you'll know that there is the maze. Well-known maze. Perhaps one of the larger mazes that are known. And many years ago, there was a platform that the attendant would sit on, which was above the maze. So he could see as the people, or the children perhaps more particularly, went round, and he would see that perhaps some of them, they went this way and that way, and they could not get out. They needed guidance. And so he would tell them. I think he had a stick in his hand that he could point out and tell them exactly which way to go to bring them out of the maze. It was as it is to draw the comparison, an omniscient God who sees us and points the way. What a maze this world is. Can we find our way through it, out of it? Not in any way by our own wisdom, nor with our own strength. There he may see, as perhaps that attendant may have seen, some that panicked, rushing here and there, trying to find a way. But I will guide thee with mine eye. Ah, the Lord guides his people. He guides them through all the mazes of life. He brings them into those places. He brings them into the paths that they may then prove is a right way. You cannot always tell what is the right way. You may think sometimes you're in the right way, relying perhaps on your own sense, only to prove that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but instead of deliverance, we only find we get further and further into the difficulties and the troubles that such things bring. And you know how we need that eye of our God to guide us out, to bring those deliverances. And I will guide thee with mine eye. And when the Lord guides with his eye, then we may be certain that what instruction he gives will be in accordance with what is truth. It's sometimes very perplexing and very solemn when some may use scripture or even use words that they say they have had just to obtain their own ends. And it may seem all right for a time, but what is that way that seems right to a man? Though he may perhaps bring things to bear upon it, which you may say, oh, but he's had a word. Is it a right word? Is it the real guidance that we have through the scripture, by the Spirit, and in those experiences that he really brings us? Will he then condone some evil or some wrongdoing, or to go into a way that we may perhaps like to think is a right way? But it's only according to our own want, our own wish, not according to the way that the Lord has appointed. We need to come and to plead, don't we, what David also pleaded in that 139th Psalm, when he said, O Lord, search me and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I will guide thee with mine eye. And now one final thought, which comes in another psalm, Psalm 73. And Asaph, you know, he had been envious at the wicked. He'd seen their ways. He thought there are no bands in their death, till he entered into the sanctuary. And then he was brought to this, to say that he will guide me with thine eye, and afterwards receive me to glory. Only the way that the Lord will graciously lead and teach us in is the only right way that brings us at last safely to glory itself. May it therefore be our prayer that the Lord will so bring us that perhaps as we come down to that moment when we must expect the awful, solemn transition, yet blessed it will be for the people of God. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Javis Rudd on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and makes his mercy known. Hymn 511.
dear Lord, thy blessing upon the word. And may it, Lord, be for each to consider the way that they may take. And yet, if brought through those trials, they may come forth as gold. Lord, we do also desire that there may be those constrained by thy love, and that they may know the power of thy word. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And there take us each in peace and safety to our homes, and watch between us. Pardon us of every sin. We ask it for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.